We start our next segment with a warning. The language is going to be graphic, and it has to be, because we're going to talk about the definition of rape, and language is key. For example, in 2011 in New York, Lydia Cuomo said she was brutally attacked and raped by off-duty police officer Michael Pena. But, and again, this is graphic. While the jury agreed that he had contact with her orally and anally, they did not agree that she had been penetrated vaginally, which under New York law meant she had not been raped. Now, Pena later confessed he had penetrated her vaginally. But Lydia Cuomo, no relation to New York's governor, is now working to get state legislation to change the definition of rape, which varies from state to state. And in fact, 25 states don't use the word rape at all. Recently, the FBI changed its definition for the first time in 80 years. It only referred to carnal knowledge, taken to mean vaginal, but it's now been expanded to include oral and anal attacks, and to acknowledge that both men and women can be both victims and perpetrators. But the FBI definition is only used to collect crime stats, not to enforce law. So what does the word rape mean to a victim, especially when lawmakers are casting doubts on claims by using phrases like legitimate rape? Stephanie Hughes wrote about rape in Salon and joins us from the studios of WYPR in Baltimore. And Stephanie, again, this is tough. The hardest part first. Lydia was shocked to learn that only the vaginal attack was considered rape because, as she told you, the oral attack was the worst. Tell us more.
The oral part was first. He had a gun. He forced her at gunpoint to perform oral sex. And she told me that, as opposed to anal or vaginal penetration, where something is being done to you, with oral sex, you're being forced to perform something. And in New York State, that's not considered rape. That's considered criminal sexual act.
Right. Well, I'm going to be even more graphic than you have been. Not only was she being forced to do something, but she was throwing up and could have choked. I mean, it's horrible, and yet not considered rape.
In New York State, forced oral sex, before 2003, it was called deviant sexual intercourse, and forced anal assault was called sodomy. And then in 2003, the legislature changed both of those to criminal sexual act, the idea being they didn't want to use the word sodomy or deviant, but they're still not called rape. And so in a lot of the media depictions of what happened to Lydia, they said Michael Pena, the perpetrator, was found guilty of criminal sexual act, but not of rape. And a lot of people just don't know what it is, so it gets really confusing.
Well, and ultimately he did confess to what's the technical rape, the vaginal penetration. And by the way, what ultimately happened to him? The judge seemed furious at the jury's first decision.
The jury found Michael Pena guilty of two charges of criminal sexual act for the oral and anal contact, and they also found him guilty of predatory sexual assault. That's because he carried a gun during the attack. They couldn't agree on the rape charges. The judge sentenced him to three consecutive terms of 25 years, so 75 years. It was clear that the judge felt that the crime that he committed was deserving of a high penalty. He did plead guilty to the rape charge as well, so she is able to say that she is a rape survivor. And she said that's really important to her. It's sort of a healing property to be able to say, I was raped, I wasn't criminally sexually acted upon.
Well, in addition to the use of the word and how the word might be applied to other kinds of attacks, there are other parts of state laws that vary from state to state, you know, whether or not the victim protests. What are some of the other differences in the laws state to state?
In some states, sexual assault goes under the name criminal sexual conduct. In other states, it's sexual abuse, sexual assault sometimes. Some states, there's a requirement of force. So a victim has to be held down or forced in some way to submit to the sexual act. Often people, when they're attacked, men or women, they'll freeze in fright. And so force might not be required in order for a criminal sexual act to occur, but it happens anyway.
The force might be the fear. Lydia had been working to get definitions in New York changed to include oral and anal penetration as rape. There was a bill presented in the House, but the lawmakers have been back and forth on this bill. And one reason may be, I'm holding a letter from Cyrus Vance's office. He's the head of the District Attorneys Association of the state of New York. He expresses the concern that if all of these acts are called rape, that all of them together may be considered one count of rape.
he thinks it's possible that if oral, anal, and vaginal penetration or contact were all under the moniker rape, that it would be could be difficult for an attack that included each of those things to be separated into separate charges, and it could be consequently harder to sentence people for longer periods of time.
Let's clarify the use of the words contact and penetration, because we've heard elsewhere that some of the anger about the definition of rape is that there's sort of a less of a bar to define what was once called sodomy, criminal attack, it's called, but you only needed contact. Whereas with rape, you need vaginal penetration. We understand the law that's being written in New York would look to make them equal, that it would only take contact to bring a charge of rape.
That's correct. Right now, the definition of rape in New York is vaginal penetration, however slight. And for criminal sexual act, they require oral or anal contact. And so the prosecutors have to prove penetration. That can be difficult.
Meanwhile, it's just interesting. You remind us that many of the states that have taken rape out of their law did so at the urging of feminists who wanted to kind of change the view of the crime as something sexual. They wanted to take the word which was associated with sex to some people out and make sure that it was considered a violent act. Is there a sense that that backfired?
So Michigan was the first state to do this in 1975. I spoke to a woman with who works for the Coalition to End Domestic and Sexual Violence there. I don't think she has any sense that it's backfired. I think she thinks that it's useful. She definitely, you know, thought it was easier to quantify what had happened when you use the term criminal sexual conduct.
Well, I was thinking of Lydia, who, as we said, she wants the word, and she wants people to use specific words. She spoke at a press conference in Albany about what precise language means to her, again, a victim.
You know, we don't use precise terms. No one likes saying oral and anal, and no one likes talking about it. But when you use the precise terms, it gives a lot of power, and I do think it is a lot of semantics, but semantics are so important. And for me as a survivor, I think the semantics of this and calling rape rape is huge in how I move on and, like, how I go forward. And you're being told, no, we think you were sexually assaulted. We don't know if we can call that rape.
Stephanie Hughes, just what a brave young woman.
Lydia's incredibly brave. She's really sort of claiming this incident. She's talking about it. She's working with the lawmakers to get this bill passed. She feels it's important for people not to be ashamed of their status as rape survivors. And so she's just really brave in going forward.
Yeah, well, her legacy might be a uniform definition of rape state to state. We'll see. Stephanie Hughes has written about the legal language surrounding rape. Stephanie, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And as always, your thoughts welcome at hearnow.org.